relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You are listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Now, why did Chad pick that music? He picks it always for a reason. It's a theme to a British comedy show called Two Men Behaving Badly. It's Friday. He's in the studio a little early, but why not? He's Jim Carafano, vice president of the Heritage Foundation. Are you going to behave badly or well, Jim?
Well, you said British thing, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a tribute to Prince Philip. But I guess
we've
not.
Done that. We've done that already. Okay,
that was the story I was going to tell.
Oh, save it.
All right.
Hold it. Okay. Keep your powder dry. Complacency is a weakness that patriots cannot afford. For this reason, Carr Firearms is teaming up with us here at America First in 2021. Carr Firearms believes Americans shouldn't be afraid to publicly stand up for our freedoms. This is more than being a gun enthusiast. This has become a very personal issue, standing and fighting for the soul of America. Carr Firearms wants America First listeners to know that they are not afraid to publicly support Second Amendment Friday. Check out their incredible range of U.S.-made firearms at KAHR.com. That's KAHR.com. We're going to talk about the Second Amendment with Tim Harmson of the Military Arms Channel later in the hour. But just to put it in perspective, a little reminder. This is from candidate Joe Biden with Anderson Cooper. Cut five. Play cut.
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo.
Bingo. And you heard him yesterday. No amendment to the Constitution is sacred. No amendment is absolute. We're going to take your calls and discuss. But first things first, we've paid tribute to Philip, to the Duke of Edinburgh. But there's something you wanted to share. Was it public consumption?
No, yes. It was. So I was in the Army for 25 years, you know that.
And artillery.
They sent me to, West Point sent me to grad school, and they said, study something. So I just picked British history because I figured there wasn't a language requirement.
You have to speak real English.
And when I got to grad school, the first course I took was the history of Britain since 1688. And since I knew nothing about British history and I had to do a master's, dissertation, I said, well, I will do it on 1688 because it was the first thing I studied. So for those of you who are not British historians, 1688 was called the Glorious Revolution. When James II of the Stuart was overthrown. They invited William over, William and Mary. They started they took the throne. And one of the things they did is they did a compact between Parliament and the Crown about basically shared power.
Limits.
So arguably, this is really the beginning of Britain's journey towards democracy, but what it really was is it created the ideas which actually the founding fathers drew on to create the world's first true popular sovereignty, where the people run the country. Why we call America the exceptional nation, and then ironically, the first country to really fully embrace the American model was Great Britain. But what made me think of this is, the reason why we revere the British monarchy in America is not because we've forgotten 1776. It's not because we have bonds of race or religion or language. It's because our model, our belief in freedom is so compatible. And the British monarchy since 1688 has really evolved into the greatest defender of British democracy.
Yes.
And we revere And you actually get a sense of this if you watch The Crown, if you watch Netflix, for whatever you don't like about it. The Queen is the ultimate selfless servant. The Crown exists to support the British people and their governance of themselves. So it's actually it's not a remnant of the divine right of kings. Today, the British monarchy is the greatest defender of democracy in the world outside of the United States. And that's why we mourn people like Prince Philip, who were selfless servants to their country. Yeah,
that's the only thing I tweeted out about him, apart from, guys, especially if you're in the media, get the pronunciation right, please. It's a small thing. I'm being a pedant. It's the Duke of Edinburgh. Edinburgh, not Edinburgh. Okay? Please, if you're a TV... I've already seen it. If you're TV hosts... Get it right.
Edinburgh.
Yeah. Edinburgh. Edinburgh.
So in the Bronx, though, it's Edinburgh.
Okay. Don't give them any more ideas. I said he is the exemplar of public service. And you don't have to be a member of a royal family to be a public servant. And what you just said, just a little tease it out a little bit. Think of the prime ministers who have come and gone.
Right.
While she's been on the throne.
Unbelievable.
I mean, and... Her capacity, there is not one whit of a charge that stands for a nanosecond that she hasn't been apolitical. She has been there for the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Right?
And there's such lessons. As we yell and scream at each other here in America today and we talk about everything's racist and everything else, I mean, in some ways, it's a better exemplar for us than our own politicians and leaders. I mean, this is a woman who has dedicated her entire life to the service of her people. Yeah. And it has been selfless servants. Okay, they're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But everything she did, and she is a woman who loves her family. I mean, her marriage was a marriage of real love.
73 years, guys.
Real love the children and all that. But even that, she put the nation in front of her family, in front of her personal health, in front of her personal well-being. And the reason why she doesn't retire is because to retire or to, leave the throne would be failing an obligation that was given to her, and she would never do that. And I think we can all learn from that. This, I come from a family of cops and firemen and nurses and, army and stuff. And, for us, selfless service was, and look, people can do whatever they want. That's the whole idea of a free society. And people of selfless servant aren't better than anybody else. But because they were given the freedom to choose, they chose to serve everyone else. And the one thing we should never take away is that freedom from us. And that's what I hate about what we're doing so much now. People are telling us what's good for us. Don't do that. We don't want that. We want people to be able to have the freedom to make a choice. Elizabeth made a choice to spend her entire life serving the people of Britain. That was her choice, and we should respect it and honor it, and we should honor even more the system that allowed something like that to happen.
I'm going to disagree with my guest and friend just for a moment, because I'm going to say it. I can. They are better. If you do dedicate your life to service, you are better than those. Look, we want to have the freedom. You're right, Jim. We don't want people telling us what we should do or what is better. But our civilization, the Christian message, the message of the church, the cross, is to be a servant. And for me, whether it's the Duke of Edinburgh, whether it's his wife, the Queen, my gosh, what an example of willingly bearing a cross. Because we've seen it. Yes, Netflix have dramatized and perverted aspects of the story. But yeah, her familial relations, the things she could have done if she wasn't the Queen, suffered and went by the wayside. She made a conscious choice to serve her nation. And I think we could see a bit more of that over here, no?
I mean, I don't think it... Look, it is an imitation of Christ. It is fundamentally the mission. And because what God gave all of us was a choice.
Yes.
That's why it's called natural rights. Because in our nature, we are given the choice. Some of us will do wrong. Some of us will do right. But by having that freedom of choice, people will rise and do extraordinary, incredible things. I told you this story before. About Herman Butcher, in World War II, my book coming out, Brutal War.
Yes.
About this guy that just unbelievable everyday guy who would just do these incredible feats of courage, you know, in battle. That came from God. You know, this guy volunteered to, you know, this, he wasn't even a draftee. This guy volunteered. And I just think freedom is the greatest instrument of human good. And I do think that, you know, if you think to the fact of how she felt about her uncle and his abdication to the throne and what that meant to her, a lot of people would say, cool, I get to be queen. You know, good deal for me. And my dad gets to be king. That was never how she looked at it.
No.
She saw that as a failure, not because she didn't love her uncle, because she did. And not because she thought he was a bad person. But he had committed to a life of selfless service and he had abandoned that obligation. And she thought that was wrong. And that's why she would never, ever abdicate or leave the throne. I think I think she'll rule until the day she dies. But I do think there are, especially those moments in the crown that you never get to see in real life because we don't know anything about them. Right. When the prime minister would walk in and sat down and to do all those different prime ministers and to just see that here is a woman who understands that what her role is and how she can serve her nation. Unbelievable.
Wow. It's not what I was expecting today, but it was beautiful. Jim Carafano. Follow him on Twitter, JJ Carafano. Go to heritage.org. Join them today. What is he taking his headphones off, going to do a Fox Business hit? I don't know. Stay right here. So much to discuss on America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. Let there be no doubt. Big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. So why exactly are we choosing to give these big tech companies all of our personal data? The battle lines have been drawn. Big tech has made it clear which side they're on. Now is the time to take a stance. Protect your personal data from big tech with the VPN I trust for my online protection, ExpressVPN. See, every device, whether you're on the phone, laptop, or on TV, has a unique string of numbers called an IP address. When you search for stuff, watch videos, or even click a link, big tech companies can use that IP address to track all your activity and tie it back to you. When I use ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through their secure encrypted servers, so these companies can't see my IP address at all. My internet activity becomes anonymized, and my network data is encrypted. And the best part is, you don't need to be tech savvy at all to use ExpressVPN. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you're protected. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies whose aim is to censor you and spy on you. Defend your rights and protect your internet activity with the VPN I use every day. Visit expressvpn.com/GORKA. That's expressvpn.com/GORKA to get 3 extra months free. Go now to expressvpn.com/Gorka and learn more.
The sense was that he was putting her in charge of the border, the whole issue. And then a day or so later, the clarification came, well, no, she's not in charge of the border. She's in charge of diplomacy with Mexico and with the Northern Triangle countries to try to stem the flow to the border. She's had a couple of phone calls with top officials in those countries, but she hasn't gone to the border and she hasn't gone to the Northern Triangle and she hasn't gone to Mexico. Which kind of makes you wonder whether she knows this is a mess and doesn't want her fingerprints on it.
What is going on, Chris Wallace? Calling Kamala Harris AWOL 2 weeks after being designated point person for the border crisis. And it is a crisis that is going to be something that will cause leave a mark and cause a sting. We're going to discuss that crisis momentarily with our regular Friday guest, Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation. Car Firearms is fighting for America. Car executives stand with America First and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Car Firearms, and check out their line of superb U.S.-made weapons. I carry a 9mm car. That's KAHR.com. Jim, you've got some great people at Heritage, regular guests here, including Mark Morgan. We've had people, sheriffs from the border on the show. 170,000 illegal immigrants in March, as opposed to a year ago when it was 30,000. What changed, Jim?
Look, look. The Biden talking points are just completely unsustainable.
No, there's no crisis.
Well, you know, so it's a seasonal surge. Look, it's a 15-year high. That's a seasonal surge. It's Trump's fault because he didn't let people come across before they're all coming now. Well, that's the whole idea of border security. You're supposed to prevent illegal immigration, not to facilitate it. So, and this to me is the most interesting thing of this entire thing, which is the administration has these ridiculous talking points that they all stick to. Even when Biden did a press conference, all he did was repeat the stupid talking points that they already had out there. Harris says the same thing. All the media are complicit. You know, NBC, all the three initials, NBC, CBS, CNN, they're all complicit in saying the same thing. All the pundits repeat exactly the same thing. I was listening to, I think it was actually on Newsmax the other day, and they had, you know, a Democrat and a Republican, and they obviously neither one of them knew anything about the border, but they were just going through all these issues. But they got to the Democrat, and literally she just ticked off, here are my talking points, the same talking points.
Wow.
But what's really interesting is, and we've got some polling numbers coming out this next week at Heritage Action, which are amazing, but other polls have said similar things, so I'm not giving away any secrets here. There's two interesting things. One is, in terms of support for the president, the incredible divide. Democrats say, do you still support the president on this issue? Overwhelmingly, yes, right?
So on the border.
But Republicans, to a person, also independents, Hispanic voters, they think this is a dumpster fire. But so that's interesting. So the partisan divide is wider than ever. But what's really interesting is on this issue, the president's party, they may be holding steady on support for the president, but they're not growing support. They're actually pushing people away.
Like independents.
Right. And Hispanic voters, they're pushing people on this issue to the other side. But the other really interesting thing is when you start to get below that, like, do you support Biden or not, and say, do you think we should have a wall? Mm-hmm. Do you think the border should be secure? Do you like remain in Mexico? Not only are Republicans and independents and Hispanic voters overwhelming in favor of those things, many of the president's
Democrats.
Own voters actually like those policies. So when you actually get into the policies, a lot of Democratic voters actually like Trump's border policies better than Biden poor's policy. So I only raise this for one reason, which is, isn't that really interesting that the entire establishment is committed to just putting out this message of nothing to see here?
Yeah.
And yet the everyday Americans see that, one, this is a really big problem, and two, they think everything Biden is doing wrong.
Let me run a theory past you which could explain it. And I was on John Batchelor's show yesterday, and he came up with this, that the fact is all those three-letter TV platforms, they're not discussing the border. They'll have an 8-minute segment in the show on Matt Gaetz, but nothing on the border. Is it possible that the Biden voters or those who are registered Democrats, really, because of the way the media is hushing it, don't they realize there's a crisis? Is that possible,
no,
Jim?
No, because I think, again, when you actually get into the specifics, is the border a problem? Even those voters,
even the Democrats,
are saying. So here's my theory. What's different? And I don't know if this is, but I think a lot of this, I think, is talk radio.
Oh, that's making it visible.
Yes, and here's why.
And the guys at Heritage.
But, well, we're out there, not just on this issue, but we're out there on Fox and these issues, and yeah, we're hammering this stuff away. It's not moving the bubble.
Right.
But here the bubble is blown up. Well, because unlike social media, right, there are no controls on talk radio.
There's no censorship.
There's time to unpack this issue.
Yeah.
People have time to listen. Then they talk to their other friends around the cooler and on Zoom and stuff like that. And so I wonder if talk radio is, because everybody else is not a place where you can really hear things unpacked and talked about, if that's becoming a force again, you know, much like it was in the Reagan Revolution, you know, much like it was, you know, Gingrich with Contract with America, much like it was with kind of the Trump resurgence. If talk radio now is a political force because people have no other place to go to talk about things that they know just don't sound right.
Yeah.
But there has to be a place to go and actually talk about that and hear about that.
Do you like talk radio? We know you like talk radio. And because of what Jim just said, can you help me out? We had a caller last hour. You're going to stay here for one more segment, okay?
If you say so, because these handcuffs, I don't have any keys.
Well, they're comfortable. They got the fur-lined ones. Hunter Biden left them here. By the way, any Vietnam War movie you like, because I couldn't think of one. I don't like all of them, but you mentioned one I hadn't heard of.
Oh, so Go Tell the Spartans.
With?
Burt Lancaster.
Wow, I hadn't seen it. Recommended.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was filmed, it was made during the war.
During the war. It was actually made early in the war, and it only got made because they got Burt Lancaster interested in the script, and he actually helped fund
it.
The project. So Go Tell the Spartans, that's an allusion to, you know, the battle
Leonidas.
At the pass at Thermopylae, right? So all the Spartans die, and the last thing they say is, you know, go back and tell the Spartans that we stay here and did our duty. And so this is a similar experience. These guys stay on this fire base, and they fight to the bitter end.
Any logical location for a fire base, indefensible.
Right.
They get surrounded, right. And then they say, okay, we're not going to leave the South Vietnamese.
Right. We're not going to leave our Vietnamese. And it's based on a book. It was actually filmed in California. right in the back lot of the old studio, like all the good westerns in the old days.
Better than Full Metal Jacket, which Kubrick filmed in the Docklands of East London. And you could tell, oh, look, there's the palm tree that they brought in on the dolly, and it's overcast and it's raining and it's supposed to be Saigon. Come on, guys. I know it's Kubrick, but try a little bit harder.
I think it's on Go Tell the Spartans on YouTube, I think.
All right, I'm going to watch it with my boss this weekend. Go tell this. I knew. Did I tell you? He'd have an answer. Of course he does. It's Jim Carafano, not just a national security expert par excellence. He's pretty good on movies, too. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Don't touch that dial. Violent crime is on the rise. Demonstrators burning down buildings, looting businesses, and threatening people's lives. Criminals get a get-out-of-jail-free card because of COVID, and they're talking about defunding the police. It's no wonder people are purchasing guns like never before. The need to be prepared for you and your family's safety and security has never been greater. That's where U.S. Law Shield comes in. They keep their members informed about ever-changing state and federal gun laws, and as a member, you'll learn how you can lawfully defend yourself and your family. For just $10.95 per month, get immediate 24/7, 365 access to an attorney-answered emergency hotline, and you won't pay a penny in attorney's fees if a nightmare self-defense scenario ever happens to you. Now, U.S. Law Shield is not a law firm and is underwritten by third-party insurers in many states. State law and insurance regulations apply. Please see the website for the applicable underwriting company and terms of coverage. Call 833-4-GUN-LAW. That's 833-4-GUN-LAW. Or visit uslawshield.com/America for a special radio offer. You'll feel better having U.S. Law Shield on your side. 833-4-GUN-LAW or visit uslawshield.com/America.
Look at the response from the Chinese in the first 100 days.
I don't have a new assessment from here. We are approaching this from a position of patience. We're not in a hurry. We are working to strengthen our conditions at home.
We're not in a hurry to confront China. That's Jen Psaki being asked in the briefing room of the West Wing. Well, guess what? China is putting the heat on, is increasing the pressure. News today that they'd like America to lay off Iran, to get back to the good old days of the JCPOA Iran deal under Obama. Let's ask a man who I know has an opinion. Jim, latest developments, separate tracks with Europe. Talk to us about the revivification of the zombie that is the JCPOA deal. Yeah.
Hey, sorry, back to the question of good Vietnam movies.
No, radio show.
Siege of Firebase Gloria, 1989. And what's good about this film is it's after all the post-Vietnam malaise, Vietnam's terrible and everything. And it's just a war movie about Vietnam. It's actually quite good.
But is it as good as Zulu?
Not quite, but it's
not
up
quite.
There.
Okay.
It's up there. It's
all
good.
Right. Well, I know what I'm watching this weekend.
So here's the problem for the Biden administration. By saying, you know, we're just going to go back to the deal.
Can they just do that?
No.
Can they technically, diplomatically, with our allies, flick a switch, Jim?
Well, we're not sure. There's two issues. One, Iran. First of all, if they just go back to the deal and Iran's violating the deal,
what is the deal?
And I think technically, if you read the 2015 law, to go back to the deal, Congress has to approve it under the 2015 law. I think if you read it correctly, I think that's
interesting.
True. So, but the problem is by just saying we're going to go back to the deal, they gave up all their leverage because they know the deal isn't working, and they acknowledge this. They even have said, "Well, we need a better deal."
So let's just break this down very simply. You are dealing with a partner that's in breach, is a bad faith actor, and your starting point is you're desperate to reinstigate the deal, which means you've got a losing hand to begin with, no?
Right. And so the Iranians have said, and we talked about, well, we'll partially lift sanctions. Right. And they said, no. You fully lift the sanctions, and then you can come back to the deal, which essentially, and they will not agree to, oh, yeah, we'll negotiate a better deal. So essentially, Iran's opening thing is you come back and get nothing, which is an enormous embarrassment and loss of face for the U.S. So that come on, that's got to be like a non-starter. So I think what could very well happen now, and so then we say, well, we're going to have multilateral talks. That is not going to help us. All the other parties just want us to go back into the deal. So by agreeing to multilateral talks and indirect talks, that actually disadvantages to us. So not only have we given up all our leverage, the negotiator is on the other guy's side.
So what is the most realistic scenario given all of this disaster? Is it that they get more money and keep cheating?
So I think we do this for a couple of months, and when the kabuki dance is over, the Biden administration will be faced with a pretty stark choice, which is either cave to the Iranians and be in much worse shape than we are now, or continue the policy that Trump put in place, which is continue to sanction them and isolate them until they come to the table to do a real deal.
Well, that's associated with Trump, and therefore there'll be a neuralgic resistance to that.
Well, you know, they just, for example, the Open Skies Treaty that Trump pulled out of, which everybody, all the Democrats said, oh, this is horrible, terrible. And the Biden guys just said, oh, yeah, we're not going back to the Open Skies Treaty. So they have, you know, they've discovered they can very easily do Trump stuff when it actually, you know, helps them. But what we have seen, and this is another case of that, is the closer Biden used to the foreign policy that Trump left in place, the better off he does. The further he strays away from that, and I think border and immigration is the classic example,
right,
the more trouble he gets himself into. And so at this point, the two big issues, border and Iran, you know, we're having a big debate, which will be worse. And I think neither one of them is good. You know, on the border, for example, Mayorkas was talking about, well, we may have to go back and build some border wall. An acknowledgement that, yeah, we actually may have to go back and do Trump's policies. That, by the way, that's why Kamala Harris wants nothing to do with this, because she doesn't want any part of being
to be associated
with actually solving the problem by doing the things that Trump was doing.
Right. And last 20 seconds, yeah, I got to ask you, is there any scenario in which they say, yeah, this is a crisis, or is that impossible?
The border.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters at this point. I mean, even if they said now there was a crisis, we said,
well, behave in ways that indicate that they've recognized.
No, I don't think it. Yeah. The only thing that's going to fix them is actually fixing the problem. And, you know, their answer now is, well, we're going to give billions of dollars to Latin America. So it's costing us $60 million a day on the border. We're giving the cartels $100 million a day. We're giving $2 billion in New York to give unemployment insurance for illegal aliens. And now you want to give tens of billions of dollars to Central America with no guarantee that's going to solve anything.
Insanity. Save your sanity. Join the Heritage Foundation today, the conservative mothership fighting for the principles upon which our nation was founded. Heritage.org. And do follow this man. He is truly preventing World War III. One tweet at a time. J.J. Carafa. Follow on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Sadly, we're living under a Biden-Harris administration, and we all have to navigate the fallout of the barrage of executive orders. We have a good idea of what these are going to mean for the country. More debt, more regulations, slower growth, and higher taxes. Congress continues to expand spending, and the Fed has no choice but to keep printing money at an accelerated rate. This causes the dollar to fall and gold to increase. Add in recent talk of the so-called Great Reset, the multinational elite enacting a digital wallet currency, and just think of the implications of all of this and exactly what it'll do to your personal finances. The importance of owning physical gold and silver has never been stronger. Time to create your own gold standard with a call to the dealer I do business with. Call the experts at veteran-owned Midas Gold Group. Call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-4653. Online at MidasGoldGroup.com.
This is Second Amendment Friday on America First, brought to you by Carr Firearms.
The Bureau of Alcohol Firearms, the key agency enforcing gun laws, hasn't had a permanent director since 2015. Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as the director of the AFT. David knows the AFT well.
How can you get it wrong twice? I mean, truly, if that's not evidence of cognitive challenges, I don't know what is. It's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Who's bringing the chips? That was Joe Biden yesterday. We've got to talk about his war on the Second Amendment, because he said, you heard him earlier, no amendment is safe. No amendment is absolute. Let's talk to the man who has one of the best YouTube channels out there. He is the individual in the DPMS camouflage smock who makes all those reviews on the Military Arms Channel, Tim Harmson. Welcome back to America First.
How you doing? It's good to talk to you again, my friend.
Great to have you back on the show. So he did it. He declared war. He's put a rabid anti-gunner as his nominee for the Bureau of, let's do it his way, alcohol, firearms, and tobacco. The Second Amendment is not absolute. Is this bluster? Is this the same as Obama, who declared war and then really didn't get very far? Or should we take this more seriously?
Well, we should take all threats seriously. But here's the problem. The reason that that press conference took place is because he has no legs in Congress. As long as those two senators hold on to the filibuster, he can do nothing less legislatively. So now he's forced to try to take executive action, but there are very limited things that he can do through executive action.
So let's talk about that for a second. I wasn't aware. It was my producer, Jeff, who enlightened me that you are one of the key players pushing back on the ATF when they outlawed or they wanted first to go after the bump stocks, then the braces. So are you saying that even by executive action, he is circumscribed in what he wants to do?
Yes. So what he's going to probably try to do is direct the ATF to turn braces into stocks and then thus firearms that have braces into illegal SBRs. He may offer a free, you know, a free pass on the tax, the $200 tax, but force people to register them on the NFA under the punishment of law if they don't do it, which means 10 years in prison and $250,000 fine per braced pistol you do not register. So we just recently won a major victory in the Sixth Circuit Court. I was a plaintiff on the case. It was brought by GOA. They were my attorney. Rob Olson from GOA was my attorney.
Gun Owners of America. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Thank you. Gun Owners of America. And we sued them over bump stocks. It was never about the bump stocks. It was about what ATF did and how they did it in an issue called Chevron deference. And the court ruled that ATF cannot reinterpret a law, retroactively impose punishment as severe as 10 years in prison, and do that under the guise of Chevron deference. Deference typically is applied to, okay, we're going to reinterpret this law, and we're going to just change things going forward. There's no penalties assigned to people that did things legally before the reinterpretation.
You can't retroactively become a criminal.
Exactly. The grandfather clause, if you will, right? So the Sixth Circuit said, ATF, no, you can't do this. You cannot do this and claim Chevron deference in this case. And, of course, we also got the court to admit that a bump stock isn't a machine gun. But that wasn't what we were after. We wanted this issue of Chevron deference to be tackled because this is how we hogtie the ATF and make them stop doing these things. And so it was a godsend. It was a blessing that we got that ruling just a few weeks ago, and then Biden goes and pops off about what he plans to do, with executive action and directing ATF to take action against things like braces.
So what happens now? Are bump stocks retroactively okay? Or what does this Chevron decision mean going forward? We're talking to Tim Harmson, Military Arms Channel.
So right now the Sixth Circuit told the lower court, who held that bump stocks were machine guns, the higher court, the Sixth Circuit, said, no, they're not machine guns, and they can't claim Chevron deference. They handed it back down to the lower court to update their opinion. Now, the government can do one of two things. They can request an en banc review, which is just legalese for saying they want the entire court to hear this again, which they will again decide in our favor, or they can take it straight to the Supreme Court. And my attorney is fairly certain that even the Supreme Court would just simply refuse to hear it, thereby letting that ruling stand. So if ATF tries to do this again, I don't want to telegraph too much, but if ATF pulls this again, they try to do the exact same thing with braces. We're already in discussions about immediately filing an injunction to protect gun owners, so they don't have to do anything until we can litigate this in the Sixth Circuit and beat them once again.
Were you surprised by the Sixth Circuit Court decision?
We were getting nervous. Typically, it's about 6 to 7 months for a circuit court to give you a ruling, hear your arguments and give a ruling. We were coming up on a year, and I was having dinner with my attorney, and I'm like, what do you think this means? And he goes, honestly, I think it means it's to our favor. They're trying to figure out how to word this, but, I think it's to our favor. And he was right. It was to our favor.
We have so much Second Amendment. Every Friday, we dedicate time to the Second Amendment. We have so much more to discuss. Can you stay with us for just 3 more minutes for one more segment?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
All right. So this guy, just not because he's a natty dresser. It's because of his taste in firearms. This is a man who has given you the truth. It's right there. I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 3. The only two calibers that are cool are 10mm and 308. And he understands it as well as I do. That's why you should be a subscriber to the Military Arms Channel. Tim Harmson, the man behind the legend. And follow him on Twitter at Mac_Arms. That's militaryarmschannel.com, Military Arms Channel on YouTube, and Mac_Arms. We're going to discuss more with Tim after these messages. But first things first, this is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free pain relief that actually works. I don't need a script. I don't need talking points. I am living proof. I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. Then I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 2 years later. After my knee surgery last year, after 3 days of those awful narcotics they prescribe for you, those painkillers, I got off them, and I doubled my dose of drug-free Relief Factor because it works. Tens of thousands of Americans across the country getting their lives back because of this remarkable product, including Reggie from Florida. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Incredible words. And there's only one way to find out. And it's so very, very easy. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Order the 3-week quick starter pack right now. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee. By the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Do it today. You know it makes sense. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. What have you got to lose? Accept the pain. Do it now.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Carr Firearms.
Carr Firearms is fighting for America. Carr executives stand with America First and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our new Second Amendment sponsor, Carr Firearms. Check out their amazing line of U.S.-made firearms at KAHR.com. I carry a 9mm Carr myself when I'm not carrying a 10mm. Yes, indeed. We are back with none other than Tim Harmsen of the Military Arms Channel. Tim, quickly, you mentioned it offline. You said you can talk about it publicly. Give us a little tease. What's the next video we can expect?
So we just shot a video about the new Desert Tech MDR Micron. It's a SBR bullpup, as if bullpups weren't short enough already. It's a 5.56, and it's about the same size as a P90 submachine gun.
A P90 is tiny. A 5.56 bullpup as small as a P90? That's crazy.
I know, and it's really cool, and it's an upgrade kit. I think it's like $589. You can get the kit if you already have an MDR. You just add it on there, but of course you have to file your, you know, Form 1 paperwork, and pay Uncle Sam is $200. But yeah, you can just turn your existing gun into one, and it's actually a really, really cool kit.
All right, when can we see that video?
It's going to release this coming week.
Fabulous. All right, last 2 minutes with Tim Harmsen, Military Arms Channel. Subscribe today. Hit the notifications bell. You'll never miss one of his videos. A man who understands what real calibers are. I watched a couple of live streams with you, longer interviews with people from GOA and elsewhere. You are one of the real sober voices. You're not one of the Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the Second Amendment is gone. And you're neither one of those ones who says, oh, I'm not going to talk politics, I'm just going to review guns. What is your message to those out there who are gun nuts like me, love the Second Amendment, understand its constitutional role, or who just bought a gun yesterday for the first time?
Well, if you just bought a gun, you need to get political because you just stepped into the Second Amendment community.
Yes.
And no, I don't do the sky is falling because I consider that to be mostly clickbait. We need to be sober and rational about how we approach things. Our founding fathers were geniuses. They gave us plenty of tools to challenge, actions that are taken by the government that are illegal or unconstitutional. We just proved that with the Sixth Circuit win regarding bump stocks and Chevron deference. So, I mean, we have the ballot box. We still have, the courts. We have all sorts of things. And it's we should never give up the fight. Just be level-headed and be politically active. And that means contacting your reps every chance you get. Let them know what you think, because it does matter. I can cite several instances where reps have said they've gotten so many phone calls, they just couldn't handle them all. They've gotten so many emails, they couldn't handle them all. It does make a difference. So please just be politically active, because we can win. We're winning all over the place.
And join Gun Owners of America.
Gun Owners of America, yeah, please join them. They are a true no-compromise organization. They fight everything.
And as he has in the back of his shooting shed when he's reviewing his guns, that great sign, shall not comply. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First. There are millions of law-abiding gun owners out there, and many don't realize how fast a self-defense situation can change their life forever. You're simply going about your day, running errands, picking up the kids, getting gas, or attending church. In a split second, a normal day turns into the worst day of your life. And while a self-defensive incident may only take seconds, the legal fallout can last years. That's why I am proud to tell you about U.S. Law Shield. They relentlessly protect law-abiding gun owners. For just $10.95 per month, you'll have immediate 24/7, 365 access to an attorney-answered emergency hotline, and you won't pay a penny in attorney's fees. Members also have direct access to attorneys for state-specific guidelines on firearm and self-defense law. Now, U.S. Law Shield is not a law firm and is underwritten by third-party insurers in many states. State law and insurance regulations apply. Please see the website for the applicable underwriting company and terms of coverage. Call 833-4-GUN-LAW. That's 833-4-GUN-LAW. Or visit uslawshield.com/America for a special radio offer. You'll feel better having U.S. Law Shield on your side. 833-4-GUN-LAW. Or visit uslawshield.com/America.